We're talking about gratitude. It's something that's very important any time of the year, but especially this time of the year as we're coming up to Thanksgiving. There was a guy who bought a ticket and he won the lottery. To claim it, he verifies his ticket number and he demands, "I want my $20 million now." The official replied, "No, sir, it doesn't work that way. We'll give you $1 million today and then $1 million for each of the next 19 years. The winner said, "Oh, no, I want my money right now. I want it now. Again, the man explained that he would only get $1 million now and then $1 million for each of the next 19 years. The winner screams out, "Look, I want my money. If you won't give me my $20 million right now, I want my dollar back." Oh, boy. When asked to list what he was thankful for, one little boy wrote, "My glasses." Teacher said, "That's really good. They help you see better?" "No," replied the boy. "I'm thankful because they keep the other boys from hitting me in the face and the girls from kissing me." This little guy understood what gratitude means. We have so much to be thankful for, so much. We just need to learn to express it a bit more, don't we? There is a way we can do that. It starts first with realizing that everything you own, all you are, comes from God. Without God, we are nothing. 1 Chronicles 29 says, "O Lord our God, as for all this abundance, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." It all starts with God. When we ask, "What can I be thankful for?" we really must thank God for everything. This morning, I'm going to share with you four things. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have every reason to thank God for these four things. There's nothing greater to give thanks to God for. Dear Father, we pray that you will minister by your Spirit, through your word to our hearts. May we respond to you in gratitude, not just because it's a Thanksgiving time of year, but Lord, may that be a part of our lives that's daily and throughout the day. Thank you, dear Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm grateful to God, first of all, for the grace he has shown to me. We looked at the subject of grace several months ago in a series of sermons. The Bible has a lot to say about grace. It says in Ephesians 2:8, "You have been saved by grace through faith. You did not save yourselves. It is a gift of God." A gift of God. What is grace? Grace is everything God does for you, even though you don't deserve any of it. Grace is God giving you what you need, not what you deserve. The Bible says everything we have comes to us by God's grace. Everything God does in, through, for, to you is by his grace. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. It's by his grace. Psalm 103 lists a few things God does for us by his grace. It says there in that psalm, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender to those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Are those things to be thankful for? You better believe it. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give you what you deserve? I sure am. Aren't you glad God gives us instead what we need? If you do not understand the grace of God, you have no idea what bad shape you were in before you came to Jesus Christ. Let me summarize it in one word. Hopeless. Hopeless. No meaning, no ultimate purpose for your life. The longer one lives apart from Christ, the more guilt and fear and worry and regret and emptiness will dominate your life. God had no, or rather, you had no hope for eternity. You were headed for hell and not heaven. And there was nothing that you could do about it yourself. But God came along with his wonderful love, and he said, I'll show you my grace. So I'm thankful to God for his grace for me. The second thing is I'm thankful to God for the plan that he has for me, his plan for me. Life is not an accident. You were made for a reason. You were made for a purpose. God has a plan for your life. No baby is ever born by accident. There are no such things as illegitimate babies. Now, there are some illegitimate parents, but no illegitimate babies. If you're alive and breathing, that means God has a plan for your life. God's plan is a good plan. It's not a plan we have to worry about or be afraid of. It's good. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's plan is so great, he even takes my mistakes and my faults and my failures and my hurts and brings good out of those things. God's plan for your life is not all happiness and comfort. His plan may include some disappointments. It may include some pain. It may include some discipline. If you were never disciplined, you would never have good character. God's plan for your life may even involve some unanswered prayers. Yet it's all for our good. God has shown me grace, and he's given me a plan. The more I discover it, the more my life unfolds and my true potential comes out. He says, I have good plans for you. I'm grateful for the plans he has for me. And then third, I'm grateful for the home he has prepared for me in heaven. For we know, in 2 Corinthians 5:1, in the Living Bible paraphrase, we read, for we know that when this tent we live in now is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have wonderful new bodies in heaven, homes that will be ours forevermore, made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Human beings were made to last forever, not just for a certain time here on earth. When your body dies, that isn't going to be the end of you. Someday your body will die and decay, and cease to exist, but that's not going to be the end of you. The Bible says you were created in God's image, and that means you have a soul. You have a soul. You will spend eternity in one of two places, in heaven or in hell, depending on whether you trusted in the grace of God in Jesus Christ or not. Heaven and hell are real. They're not a figment of someone's imagination. They're not just symbolism. Jesus spoke more about heaven and hell than he did on any other subject. He knows more about it than you or me or any popular writer. Jesus said, they are real places. As Christians, we don't have to be afraid of the future. Born-again Christians of all people should be most confident about death because we know where we're going because of our faith in Jesus Christ. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die, someone has said. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Are you ready to die today? You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Only a fool would go through life totally unprepared for something that they know inevitably is going to happen. You know that you're going to die. The latest statistic tells us that the mortality rate is 10 out of 10. That's 100%. You see, every one of us in this room is terminal. Every human being is terminal. It's just a matter of time. We don't have to be afraid of that, however. We can actually be thankful to God that because of his grace, while we're on earth, he has a plan for us. And when we leave this earth and we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior and received his cleansing, forgiving grace, he will take us to heaven. Oh, our body may die, but our soul will last forever. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 4 through 6, God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will make sure you get there safely to receive it because you're trusting him. So be truly glad. Does everyone go to heaven? Absolutely not. If God lets Hitler or serial murderers or rapists, genocidal dictators into heaven, it would be hell. So heaven is only for God's children, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So how do you get to be his child? By asking in faith to become a part of his family, in effect by trusting his son, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of your sins. You ask, after I become a believer, what if I sin as a Christian? What do you mean, if? It's not a matter of if, it's when. You will sin. You will make mistakes. Christians are not perfect, but we are forgiven. There will be times in your life when you may want to let go of God's hand. The day you trusted in Jesus Christ, you put your hand into the hand of God, and he grabbed onto it as your heavenly Father. There are days when you want to let go. But he's not going to let go because he loves you too much. There will be days when you're tempted to say, God, I don't want to be a Christian today. It's too difficult. It's too hard. It's too unpopular. It just costs too much. There'll be days when you have doubts. Yet the Bible says that God in his mighty power will make sure that you get to heaven safely. It's his responsibility to keep the commitment that you have made. Aren't you glad that when you doubt God, he doesn't doubt you? Aren't you glad that when you feel far away from God, he still loves you? And nothing can ever stop him from loving you? Aren't you grateful that it's his power that keeps you saved and not your own power? That's something to be thankful for, something to be grateful for every day. Of course, if you had to earn your way to heaven by doing good works, then the day you stopped doing those good works, you'd lose your salvation. But since you're not saved by works, you don't stay saved by works. Did you get that? Since you're not saved by works, you don't stay saved by good works. You're saved by simply receiving God's gracious gift of grace. Once you accept that gift that God is holding out to you, and you put your hand into his hand, it's his hand and his power, not your own power, that keeps you saved. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. I know the end of the story. No matter what happens in the rest of my life, my final destination is heaven because of my faith in Jesus Christ. And I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful to God that he didn't put salvation in these hands. What if I blew it the last few minutes before I died? It's not my goodness. It's his. And that is great news, folks. I'm grateful to God for the grace he has shown me. I'm grateful to God for the plans he has for me. I'm grateful to God for the home he has prepared for me. But there's one thing that really overwhelms me. I'm grateful to God for the changes that he is making in me. The changes he's making in me. See, I'm so glad I'm not the same person that I used to be. God is making changes in my life that I could never bring about on my own. I'm so grateful to God for that. I'm grateful to God that I'm not today the person that I was. But I'm grateful to God that I'm not yet the person I'm going to be. Because he's at work. I'm not stuck in a rut of what I am now. He's at work to make me better than I am now. God looks at us and he says, I see that lump of clay. I could do something with that. And God saw your potential when nobody else saw it. And when others are writing you off and they're saying worthless, God says, they are wrong. I see my treasure in you. I made you. I value you. And I am making you better if you will just let me. The moment you became a believer, he started that personal improvement program. He's chipping away at your life, changing you, and making you better and better. You see, God loves you just the way you are. When you come to him, you don't have to say, God, I promise to clean up my act and get it all together. No, you just come to him with the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life. He loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. So he starts making changes in our lives. Philippians 2:13 encourages us, God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. He not only gives you the desire to do the right thing, he gives you the power. You see, God never asks you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to accomplish. He always gives us the power to do what he wants us to do. So how do you thank God? Let me give you four ways to say thanks to God. First of all, by singing. By singing. Psalm 147 and verse 7 says, sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to God. Nothing makes you more aware of God's presence better than praising him. The Bible says, sing thankfulness to God. You say, I can't sing. You don't have to. In fact, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I've known some people that that is exactly what you would call it, a joyful noise. Where can we sing to God? Anywhere, since God is everywhere. Psychologists have discovered that singing praise actually lifts our spirits. There are physical changes that actually take place that can be scientifically measured. Praise renews. Praise rejuvenates. If you're not praising God, you're cheating yourself. Singing praise to God is a mood lifter, a depression eraser. And then secondly, by serving. We serve with our lips, but we sing with our lips rather, but we serve with our lives. We serve with our lives. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Hebrews 10:28 says, since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. You see, when we serve God, it's not a chore, a duty, or an obligation. It's a privilege. The motive for using my talents and spiritual gifts in serving God and others is gratitude. Gratitude. If God never did another single thing for you, you would still owe him everything. You might say, I work hard for what I got. I worked hard for it. Where'd you get the talent? You got it from God. Where'd you get the energy? God gave it to you. Where'd you get your health? God. Where'd you get your mind? God. Freedom? God. Everything you have is a gift from God. So thank God for what he's done in your life. Thank him through singing and thank him through serving. We sing our thanks with our lips, but we serve with our lives. And then thirdly, by giving, the Bible says, give an offering to show thanks to God. Give him what you promised. The Bible says that the level of my giving shows the level of my gratitude. If I'm not giving, I'm not very grateful. Obviously, thanks and giving go together. One of the ways we give our thanks is through our giving. We sing, we give God thanks by singing, serving, giving, and then fourth by telling. Telling others about him. Every time you tell somebody the good news, you're thanking God. Isaiah 12:4 says, "Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the world of his wondrous love and how mighty he is." We have the greatest news in the world, and the good news keeps getting better because the world's news keeps getting worse. It's better than the cure for cancer. Everybody needs Jesus. Everyone needs what we have. Many of you have seen radical transformation in your life that no one else could have ever accomplished. No human being, no program, no therapy could have possibly achieved what God has done in your life to transform you. Changes in your marriage, changes in your other relationships, changes within your own life. I think the problem is that the longer we are Christians, the more we forget what a great deal we have. We tend to forget what it's like to live without hope, without help, to live without God's presence and power and peace and protection in our lives. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, he starts changing us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. That's God's goal for us, to make us like Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the very purpose of a Christ-exalting church family. The bottom line for us is, why do we do what we do, is in this very verse. The Spirit of the Lord works within us, and we become more and more and more like him. We are in the life-changing business. When you boil it all down, it's not property, it's not programs, it's not even the music or the classes or the sermons. We are in the life-changing business. Jesus Christ has the power to change that no one else has. Jesus changes wife beaters into loving husbands. Jesus has the power to turn addicts on the street and turn them into responsible citizens. He has the power to put marriages back together, to turn lives completely around. Selfish, arrogant businessmen have become humble, unselfish, loving servants of God. Only God can make that kind of change in our lives. Most of you can stand up and say, I am changed. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together, but now my feet are pointed in the right direction. Thank God, I'm not what I used to be. There's a miracle working power in praise and thanksgiving. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas had been out in the community talking about Jesus, and they were arrested and they were thrown into prison there in Philippi. They're in this dark, dank dungeon of a jail. And in the middle of the night, they start thanking God in their situation. They began singing and praising God, and God does a miracle. He sent an earthquake so powerful that it shook the jail doors open. The jailer saw what had happened, and he was about to kill himself because he was sure all of the prisoners had escaped. And under Roman law, the penalty for that was a disgraceful execution for the jailer. Paul saw it and he called out, "No, don't do it. We're all still here." And the surprised jailer answered back and he said, "What kind of prisoners are you?" And Paul said, "We're followers of Jesus Christ. So the jailer took Paul and Silas to his home, and his family treated their wounds, and Paul told them all about Jesus Christ. And that night, the jailer and his whole family became believers in Jesus Christ. Note this. The prison doors were unlocked and they began to praise and thank God. Let me ask you this. What prison might you be in here this morning? Maybe it's an emotional prison or a financial prison or a relational prison. Are you locked up by guilt? Are you ensnarled by worry? Are you imprisoned by discouragement and disappointment? Are you locked up by a habit that you just can't seem to break loose from? Is there unresolved conflict? Whatever it is, start thanking God for His mercy and His grace and His love and His faithfulness to you. And watch the prison doors open wide. The attitude of gratitude can do a miracle in your life. It releases the power of God when we thank Him and when we praise Him. Today, instead of complaining about your problems, start counting your blessings. Instead of looking at what you've lost, start considering what you have left. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer silently in your heart today. It should be up on the screen. Dear Lord Jesus, I am so grateful for the grace that you have shown me, for the plan you have for me, for the home you have prepared in heaven, and for the changes you're making in me. Help me to show my gratitude by singing and serving and giving and telling others. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I pray for those that have prayed that prayer from their hearts that you will confirm in them they are yours and that you are at work in them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.